Welcome back to another Box to Box UWCL episode. This time, we have our finalists. We sat through both of the second leg semifinals, unfortunately, Jesse and I.
Why are you saying unfortunately? It was fun.
I mean, I took that Arsenal loss very emotionally, I have to say.
Did you actually?
I remember how I wasn't touring last year when I didn't want to speak to anyone.
You felt like that last night?
I felt like that last night.
You didn't seem that bad when you got to the pub, but I wasn't there for long, so.
No, like right after, it helped. I talked to Siobhan for a bit after, and I think that kind of like lightened me up. Like right after the match, before I like had to do the on-camera stuff, I was just like, no one speak to me right now, please. I am mourning.
Yeah, I mean, it was a brutal, like, I can imagine. Like, it was a very brutal way for it to all end.
I think I would have preferred to lose on penalties.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was bad. And I do feel bad for Lotta as well. I think the weight of her error is a lot. And, like, there's no, like, faulting her. It's just, like, the way she must feel. Like, at the end of the day, that is a season-ending error that you did, and it's a shame because she did do well, but at the end of the day, that's what's going to stick. And obviously not everyone has the neurons in their head to kind of move aside and not put the blame on a player, so hopefully that's not getting too worked up. But okay, this is going to in a very sad direction. Let's let's lighten up.
Let's talk about Barcelona winning instead.
Let's talk about Arsenal. That was a lovely away day. It was sunny. Jesse and I had nice iced coffees in the sun. We had nice beers on the beach.
That's all we want.
What else? I mean, what else? Jesse took a photo of me and Lucy Bronze. I mean, it's Barcelona. It's going to be an amazing away day. But the actual match... Jesse, you came into this match with no expectations. Were you almost surprised at how close it was overall? Like, because obviously you were expecting kind of Barcelona to really thrash Chelsea at one point.
Yeah, I was shocked. If you had told me before the start of the second leg that I would be, you know, counting down the time at the end, thinking, oh, Chelsea are going to get one more chance. Like, I wouldn't have believed you. The way Barcelona have performed at Camp Nou in the past has just been, they've just historically found a different level. And their normal level's pretty high in the first place. But I think Emma Hayes got it pretty much right, to be honest. Obviously, in hindsight, maybe across both legs, some of the substitutions, some of the decisions about when and how to attack weren't quite there. But honestly, I can't fault her in terms of how she tactically set up Chelsea to frustrate Barcelona. And frustrate felt like the word, because that was the energy within Camp Nou, I think, in that last sort of 20 minutes, once it had gone to 1-1. Just, you know, an edge, like a nervousness, this feeling that, yeah, Chelsea did only need one chance to potentially send it to extra time. And then it was kind of like, you know, all bets would be off. And obviously that didn't happen, but it wouldn't have taken much for it to happen. And yeah, it was Barcelona rattled, I think, in a way that I hadn't really seen since those PSG semi-finals. Mm-hmm. That was like what it reminded me of. And obviously, I think those games was a very different kind of Barcelona, not in terms of their ability, but maybe in terms of how they were perceived. And actually, I think that's one of the things that I thought Chelsea did best, was that it felt like they really did play the team in front of them rather than playing the occasion. And I think I was worried that they would play the occasion.
Yeah, I think that's quite fair. I mean, we were obviously talking about it, how, shout out to Ashna, how Ashna and I have been spoiled by the Barcelona style of play, in terms of the results isn't as important, that if you play shit football, you're going to stick with that at the end of the day. And we've seen it in Barcelona, you know. I think What was it, Barca won, I think, like 4-1 in the Champions League group stage, and they conceded a penalty and they conceded one, and the players were like, we played like shit, and the score was like ridiculous. Like any other team would take that. But then Chelsea is quite the opposite of you play for the results. You don't play to entertain, you don't play nice football. You play to get results. And at the end of the day, Emma Hayes is kind of the expert at that. I mean, she plays the worst fucking football to watch ever.
I think that's a bit extreme.
It's like, let me be extreme. It's not as bad to watch because of the players that she does it with. Peniel Harder, Sam Kerr, Girl Wright, and Lauren James are never going to be boring to watch. But the football, the tactics and the style of play is what's dull to watch.
I think what Hayes does is it's not that it's always dull to watch.
Yeah.
Like, I will take you back to Wembley and a game against
Chelsea, yeah.
Arsenal.
No, Chelsea had a good season of nice. That's when G was there, when Loipols was like at the prime.
But I think what Emma does is she comprom like she'll compromise if she has to. And when there's injuries and you don't have necessarily the players you want, which Chelsea didn't,
Yeah.
she doesn't care about playing shit football if she thinks that will get her the
Exactly.
win.
And that's fine. It's just like it depends what you prefer. But at the end of the day, yeah, like Emma Hayes just isn't. She will play the shit football if it is what gets you a result, and it's gotten this far, and there's nothing. It gets you results at the end of the day, and that's that. Like that's the end of it. So the contrast between style plays was quite evident, I think. At the same time, I don't think neither Chelsea nor Barca play to the full potential in terms of what you expected from the matchup, and the potential that the matchup could have been if both teams would have been not exhausted at this point in the season, if Chelsea had certain players back, if Barca had certain players back. I think the dynamic would have been completely different. But at the end of the day, we still got a good game, even though the emotions were in a span of 5 minutes. But it was quite, I think it was entertaining because of how close it was. If it wasn't as close, it would have just been a very dull game. The fact that Chelsea just needed one goal to send it to extra time, and Barca were kind of holding on to that as much as they could, was kind of, and it was the same with Arsenal Wolfsburg again. That game didn't live up to the potential either, but we still ended up getting 5 goals, and it could have swayed either way. But Barca Chelsea, I think it's fair that Barca went through just overall. But I don't know what you thought of the actual potential of Chelsea getting the win, or what they didn't do and what they could have done to actually get the win.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's tough for me to say whether it's fair Barca went through. I mean, I don't think it really matters, to be honest. Like, they won. That's the sport. I feel like saying like Barca deserved to come through, it probably is impacted by like who Barcelona are and a recognition that they are a better team than Chelsea. Do you know what I mean? I think that's where that feeling comes
Yeah,
from,
yeah,
as opposed to actually how they did play. I think for Chelsea, I just feel like Chelsea had so much to get over in these games. Like, there was the kind of tactical reality about the personnel Chelsea had available, and you know, the risks Chelsea potentially had to take, choosing to revert to a back three. I don't know if Chelsea play that way if Khadija Buchanan and Millie Bright are available. Potentially, they would, but who knows? But obviously then that impacted the attacking players that Emma Hayes was able to use, you know, choosing to play with, and I think it made sense to play with the five, to play with the three in midfield. You know, I guess the other option would have been to just play a double pivot in midfield. I think that would have been a big mistake against Barcelona. And then I thought Wrighton and Kerr as a two up top were pretty enjoyable, to be honest,
Yeah.
as a two for what it was. I think clearly, you know, Chelsea needed to go more in the first leg, but I also understand, given what happened in the Champions League final, given when Chelsea conceded in that first leg, why Hayes felt it made more sense to go with the 1-0. And you know, as we're saying, Chelsea only needed one more chance in that Barcelona game to at least take it to extra time, and then regardless of what happens from there, I think everyone's thinking like, wow, genius plan, you know? Or
Yeah.
equally, what that the Sam Kerr offside at Stamford Bridge. Like, they made the game go to very thin margins. And I think what I liked about the Camp Nou performance was that Hayes iterated on what she did at Stamford Bridge. You know, the decision to play Eriksen as the left-sided centre-back rather than the central centre-back did wonders, I think, for Chelsea's possession and their ability to get on the ball.
How confident were you with CGH?
Like, defensively, it was, like, disgusting. Defensively, it made me feel unwell for, like, the first 20 minutes. But I think, you know, it paid off. Chelsea were able to kick long, win the ball higher up the pitch, pass back with Barcelona not then pressing on them and conserve energy. And I think that was a real marked difference about Chelsea in this game. It felt like they could carry on going. Whereas at Stamford Bridge, right, we saw them just run out of steam.
Yeah. No, I think that is fair. There was a lot of Wolfsburg were doing this as well. They were kind of, yeah, pinging the ball over, getting Menno Leupolz essentially was asking for the ball quite a lot over the top from Katrine Berger. Get the ball over, let her hold the ball off and then start again and you grow possession from that. And I think that was quite good. But I do, yeah, CJH against Magda, I thought that was going to be a lot more inclined for Caroline Graham Hansen because Caroline, she was on one. Her confidence was through the roof. She was taking on those 1v1s as much as she could. It was absolutely amazing. And I was actually a bit disappointed of how Barca's attack were so dull, essentially. Because I think we hyped it up a lot to have Mariona on the wing. And obviously, Oshuala had to start over Jayce. I think apparently because Jayce was having tummy problems. I don't know how true that is.
Straight from the Emma Hayes playbook.
Yeah, that was, I don't know if that was a dig to Emma Hayes or if it was actually true. But I think Graham Hansen, Jayce, and Mariona were a bit underwhelming in the sense of, again, with the potential that they could have actually provided. Rodolfo was getting up quite a lot, and it wasn't as exciting as it usually is, I thought. Overall, I do have to say Mariona did have a good game in terms of keeping the ball. Not as much as creating, but more as getting as many touches on the ball, moving the ball around, that connection that she has with Aitana and Badri was just quite evident. We saw it in the goal, in the CGH goal. The inside of the foot volley that she does for Aitana into space was just like, that says her entire football intelligence is basically just in that one play. Her spatial awareness, her technicality to put in that ball just perfectly floated in, and her physical ability to hold off a defender and do that at the same time. And then proceed to make a ridiculously long sprint with Aitana. But I think Mariona had an overall good game. Aitana had a stupidly good game. Every single touch she did was just, it was like little things. The thing that's like in my brain, there was one bit. It's just like a little, like, you know, when the ball comes and there's a defender coming and the player like chipped the ball a little bit to go over the foot. Aitana did that and just like ran into space and I was just like, It's nothing, but like so many little details like that. She does it every time she touches the ball. I thought I had a good game. I don't know who your players were. I was really impressed with Erin Cuthbert. The amount of touches that she had on the ball again, to receive, to defend, but also to attack the space that Chelsea had in their attack. I don't know what you thought on that.
Yeah, I thought Erin and I thought Jessie Fleming both had very, very good games. Erin Cuthbert is just, she does it all, you know. She's got that Oberdorf-esque energy where she will make the interceptions, the tackles and the blocks. But there are points when she has that, like, kind of Barca technical skill as well. You know, she's not afraid to turn and go. She's not afraid to take that little touch. And I think it seemed to me at Camp Nou like she was really feeling herself. I think she was really enjoying that stage. Fleming also impressed me a lot just because she's not played a lot of minutes for Chelsea and everyone knows what Jessie Fleming's going to offer you in terms of work rate, in terms of pressing. But I think recently we've not seen such a high standard in terms of her passing and decision making, and I felt like she got it spot on there yesterday. And I actually just feel like, you know, it's funny that we're in the last month of the season now, but feels like Chelsea have, you know, with Loipots and Cuthbert now fit, that feels like, okay, Chelsea want to play that double pivot and then pick a 10 for whatever kind of game you're playing to play ahead of them. You know, I thought Fleming worked here. Like, I love watching Chankovic, you know, Harder's back now. So I think that feels exciting, like from a Chelsea perspective for next season. You know, I know obviously there's a lot of uncertainty about some players, but Erin Cuthbert and Melanie Leupold, that seems to be something to build on.
I think it goes back to what we said when Chelsea had the good midfields of the technical players that you can actually play a decent style of football more than just a blunt throw the ball up and kind of hold it up there, whereas now you can kind of build up from the middle.
Yeah, definitely. And from a Barcelona perspective, yeah, I mean, Mariona, CGH, Aitana, all three of them were standout. Mariona for me was like the player who I just think she's so clever. The way she finds space, the way she moves the ball. You could just see like Eve Perisic and Jess Carter being there, like, do I follow her? Do I stay here? Like, Fridolina Rolfo is over there, but if I turn my back, she might like suddenly sprint past me. So I'm just gonna stay. So Mariona was basically just taking two Chelsea players out the game because they were like, we have to carry on standing here. Which I think was the right decision. Was the right decision from them, but yeah, I thought she was great. I think the only thing is maybe that's the bit where I think, and we've kind of spoken about this before, but it's that bit where I think Alexia's really missed. In terms of using Mariona as that additional midfielder, but having a player who's going to maybe more aggressively get into the box, which I think is what Alexia does better than Aitana. I think that's at points why it felt like Oshuala was a sort of like quite isolated. And equally in a game where Rolfo isn't going to get forward as much because Barcelona were sort of worried, you know. I think that was like why we didn't see, well, we only saw them have like two shots on target or something. By Barcelona standards, fucking crazy.
That is bad. No, yeah, the first thing that came to mind when you mentioned Alexia Mariona is that, yeah, I think Alexia pushes a bit higher and then lets Mariona be the goal scorer. Whereas now Mariona was kind of taking Alexia's role in being the creator, but she had no one to create for, essentially, if that makes sense. Whereas, yeah, Alexia would get the ball. I think Mariona has much more confidence of giving the ball and making a run into the box with Alexia there, and not as much with Aitana. I think Barcelona have actually kind of sat back a lot on runs, essentially, because you saw it a lot more last season of over the ball, through the line passes. And now I think Barcelona have taken more of a safe approach and kind of keeping possession as much as they can and try to build, which at the end of the day it's fine, but then you need an Alexis Putellas who has essentially the balls and the talent to pinpoint a through ball that will get you on goal and within a second. But I do agree. I think, yeah, Mariona does miss having that. I think Rodolfo wasn't involved in the game because of what we said, that Barcelona just couldn't be stupid, and at the end of the day, they conceded a goal with a counterattack. And I mean, that is the way to score against Barcelona. It's no secret. It's no, one-off thing. It's a consistent thing that's happened throughout Barcelona and the men and women and anything. It's just the way to break them down. I was not impressed. I said it before the match that I was quite confident of Marta Torrejón, defending Lauren James on that side. We talked about it a bit. I thought Marta Torrejón did well during the match as well. But at the same time, I don't think she had much to do as probably we expected.
No, I think obviously if Chelsea had maybe played with her, this is why I think the lack of Millie and Khedira is maybe underplayed in terms of what Chelsea might have been able to do if they could have played a back four, if they could have played a 4-3-3. But yeah, I think that's something that I think there was an element that I felt like Chelsea had to psychologically play these two games like this. And that's why they couldn't unlock everything that we think is a threat for Barcelona in terms of getting in behind the fullbacks, you know, playing with those wide players. I think they needed to prove to themselves that they could just play Barcelona first.
And not get annihilated.
Yeah, and I think if they meet again, which you would have to assume will be, you know, sooner rather than later, I wonder if we'll see, well, we could see a more confident Chelsea. Who knows? I mean, with Emma Hayes, you never really know which version of Chelsea might turn up.
That is true.
But it'd be interesting.
Yeah. I guess the other question I would have for you is the Sam Curry conversation. Sam Curry, at the end of the day, did create the Grealish right single.
Taking a really heavy touch.
Yes, essentially. But I mean, Kerr was quiet. She didn't touch the ball much. Obviously, didn't have any shots on target. That's an exaggeration. She obviously got that one. But it's just not the Sam Kerr that you would kind of expect, especially when Chelsea would kind of be looking to play that counter-attack game. Do you think that was more of Chelsea not living up to the potential, as we've been saying, or was it more Barcelona's defense sitting deep and Sam not knowing what to do without any space?
Yeah, I definitely felt like second leg, and we kind of talked about this after the game, right? That it felt like Irene Paredes got really, really tight to Sam. And she definitely didn't have as much opportunity in the aerial duels that she got in the first leg. Although I do think, as I say, that Chelsea actively wanted to conserve possession a bit more. So I think it changed the way they played long a little bit. I feel like you can look at the first leg and second leg and be like, Chelsea just played long balls, but they weren't the same long balls. The intention behind them wasn't the same. I think Kerr did struggle, and it's hard to say because sometimes Kerr looks like she's struggling in games and then she'll just like pull out one absolutely crazy moment. I think everyone knows that she's obviously scored less this season, but I think she's scored more important goals. But, you know, I do think I'd be intrigued. Like, I'd love to like sit down and have an honest conversation with her and be like, what did you make of that? Because I just find it fascinating the way maybe different players dealt with the fact that they were playing Barcelona again. And like, you look at someone like Guru, who I felt really thrived, and she didn't play in that first half of the final. She came on at half time. And it feels silly to say like someone as professional as Sam Kerr, but just makes you wonder like, how much does that sit in the back of your head? Like, does that, it might motivate you, but it might put like the pressure on. Even if I'm not saying she was scared. I'm just saying like, if you really, really want it. And we've seen that from Kerr before. Sometimes, you know, it's like when she goes to 1-on-1, it's like almost like she wants it so much.
Yeah.
She's better when she just lets it happen.
Thinking about it.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, that's an interesting point. I think the addition of playing in a stadium like that puts the extra pressure, you know, non-consciously in your head of Sam Kerr wanting to score a Champions League goal in the semi-final at Camp Nou. That's just Sam Kerr. I mean, Sam Kerr deserves a goal like that because it's Sam Kerr, as does, you know, let's say a Mitoma, for example. It's just the name, like a striker's name, you would associate with a goal like that, essentially. And it is interesting on the mentality around it. I don't know how much importance. Also, I would think that Emma Gaze.
Emma Gaze. Oh my God. New Chelsea fan group name. Emma's Gaze.
Oh, that is, you're welcome.
I'm getting a t-shirt with her face on that says that.
You're welcome, everyone. I also would like to know how much importance Emma Hayes gave to Sam Kerr in terms of the goal scoring opportunities. Because most of what Emma Hayes would be kind of tactically focused on would be around the building, up the building of like the up of the attacking play, and kind of you kind of throw Sam out there and be like, just do what you do and score a goal.
Mm.
So I don't know how much importance Sam was giving in terms of the overall tactical plan as an Erin Cuthbert, for example.
Mm.
So I just don't know how important her role was in the Chelsea squad that came out with the mentality of going up against Barcelona, because Sam only has one job.
Yeah, and I guess also from a scoring perspective, certainly in the first leg, obviously the idea wasn't for Sam to score. It was for Sam to assist Guru. And ironically, that's kind of then what happened in the second leg, even though the tactic wasn't quite the same. That was more like maybe we're looking for quicker balls in behind to Sam. But yeah, I think it'll be very interesting. It's going to be a very interesting month for her, like in the lead up to the World Cup. I think, you know, it's hard to overlook the amount of football she's played and the amount of like pressure she'll feel.
Yeah, I mean, I do. It's a bad comparison, but Jill Ward has really impressed me. She shows up in all the big games, and it's actually quite the opposite of what you would expect from a player like that, who's very consistent, inconsistent mentally. I think Jill Ward can kind of easily get quite mad at herself during a football match and kind of let that go negatively in her game. But she showed up in every single Champions League match for Wolfsburg, and it's what you would expect of a player like Sam Kerr, for example. And it's just not happening. And it's nothing bad. It's just, I think Chelsea just didn't really have the overall A players, two, energy, and three, tactical like superiority to Barcelona, essentially. So I don't know.
I think you look at what Wolfsburg did to Arsenal, and I'm not saying Chelsea could have done the same to Barcelona, but in terms of when you have a bench of players who are sort of ready to go, you know, I think it's unfortunate that Lauren James is in a fallow period. Harder is, you know, coming back. She's not fully fit. These aren't necessarily players you're going to be able to bring off the bench and they're going to be able to have an impact. And then you look at Wolfsburg, who can change their entire front three. You know, okay, these aren't players who are playing like loads and loads of minutes, but all of them have got decent chunks of minutes recently for Wolfsburg. And then you see them be able to make the impact. And, you know, even actually the way Barcelona did, you know, bringing JC on, that I think changed the focus for Chelsea. Like there suddenly was someone who'd just come on like buzzing around. It was something different to that's what JC does.
Yeah,
so it was something different to think about. And Chelsea didn't really have a player who was able to do that. Like you'd have wanted LJ to do that, but it just didn't happen for her in either game.
I think that's quite fair. I think Barcelona also have more dynamic in play, diverse dynamic in players than Chelsea do, for example. Like when you compare Jason Oshuala, it's just like two completely different players. When you compare Mariona and Salma, two completely different players. So you have, on top of worrying about Barcelona, as you do with TJH and Norfolk, for example, or any of that, you have to worry about a completely new person when you're defending. And you get used to Mariona, then you put on Salma, who has a completely different mentality. But I think, I mean, it was, overall, I think we could say it was quite a dull tie from what we expected.
I loved it from a tactical perspective. Like I thought it was fascinating. And it would have been more dull if Barcelona had just won 3-0 or whatever. And that's why I enjoyed just both of these semi-finals taken together, because I thought Chelsea-Barcelona felt like the more, I don't want to say high quality, because I didn't think the technical level of the football was always immense.
No, yeah, but when you look at the level of Barcelona-Chelsea and you look at the level of Arsenal-Wolfsburg, it was Chelsea-Barcelona was just a level higher than both teams, an overall kind of comparison of it.
But then we got the drama and we got, how many goals did we get? 9 goals across 2 legs for Arsenal-Wolfsburg. So that felt like that was the chaos, you know. VAR checks that went on forever, offside goals, blah, blah, comebacks, tie swinging like this way and that. And then Chelsea-Barcelona felt more like the football cliche chess match. But like taken together, I just thought like it's kind of lame to be like, they were a great like advert for women's football. But like it wasn't even an advert for women's football. It was just good football, you know, like for both of them. And the fact that both of them were so finely poised all the way through? Like, how often do you build up semi-finals and then one team's like, you know, even when Wolfsburg went 2-0 up, you're like, oh, okay, like we've got to play a whole extra 135 minutes here. But it's like both of them were still like in the final minute, you thought something could happen.
Yeah. Shall we? That kind of goes nicely into Arsenal Wolfsburg. Shall we get into the emotional roller coaster that was this match?
I mean, speak for yourself. I was just chilling, enjoying myself. This is, listen, I had a lot of gals who I love playing in this match, and Victoria Pavlova and Eula Brand cooked. So I came away, I was like I felt like a teacher, like watching my students excel, despite the fact I literally have no impact on how they play football.
It was, yeah, I honestly got a lot more emotional about it than I thought I would. I think the occasion got to me in the sense that I thought the noise, because we've spoken about before, the noise that was at Arsenal Chelsea, it was silent. You know, Arsenal Man United also wasn't necessarily the most exciting game, but yesterday it was, you know, there was a very, I would say there was probably 50 Wolfsburg fans, give or take. And then there was 60,000 people supporting Arsenal. Like it was a unison of essentially the only other time that you kind of get that same atmosphere is at Camp Nou, because it's an overwhelming amount of people supporting the same exact club, singing the same exact thing. And this time it was the entirety of Emirates, 60,000 people screaming. It wasn't even the chance. Like it was like, you know, Arsenal don't have one chance. It was Manu Zinterberger would make it the easiest catch of her life. Everyone would start applauding. It was, you know, Jen Vitti makes a tackle. Everyone started applauding. Wolfsburg get the attack and it dies down. Everyone starts applauding. It was the way that everyone started chanting Arsenal after, you know, Wolfsburg scored, that it was just like that overall feeling of a football stadium all chanting for the same thing was just like quite special. And I thought Arsenal, I think without that, Arsenal probably potentially would have been very different in terms of motivation of getting, you know, two goals back at the end of the day. And looking at it football-wise, we all knew Arsenal again, plan A or plan A, because there was literally nothing else. And obviously, like, it worked. Jen Vitti and Lotte had a really good game again, excluding the last minute error that Lotte did, because I don't think that kind of I don't think that says anything about how she actually played. It was just a moment of really poor decision making. But overall, that she had a good game again. Jen Vitti again, physicality and scoring that header. You know, at the end of the day, she got that. And the ball was lots of Jen. You wouldn't have put that on a bingo card. And the one player that I do want to applaud is our gal, Vicky Pavlova. I thought she had an outstanding match, and when they moved her into the midfield, you saw her thrive. She thrived. That's it. She just thrived. The passes that she was making to change, to open up the space for Arsenal, the confidence that she had on the ball to start with her back to goal, change, you know, do a little snake hip kind of Leo Valti thing to get into space. Her confidence level was just through the roof, and I thought she played outstanding.
Yeah, I thought the only thing that made me sad was I was like, oh, why are we only watching her in midfield now? Like, I get it. Like, everyone was just playing wherever they could. And she's been good on the right as well. Like, don't get
Yeah,
me
no,
wrong.
she definitely has, but you
But
just saw her.
you saw the real Victoria Pavlova when she moved into the middle. Like, you saw why we've been like fucking obsessed with this girl for the
This
past
is why you
year.
have an Ajax kit with Victoria Pullover on the back.
Literally. Yeah, it's so funny. I turned to my friend who I was watching the game with, and I was like, isn't it so funny how Pavlova like was so good in that Ajax Arsenal game and like almost really upset that match because of like her level. Now if Arsenal go through, like Pavlova will be the like kind of player who did it for them. Obviously didn't work like that.
It could
But
have been a good narrative.
it could have been a good narrative. I was like, I've got to get my narratives going depending on what happens. Yeah, I thought from Arsenal, like the individual levels of players across the pitch was really impressive. I thought Stina was fantastic. You know, that that we've always said that Wolfsburg defense is not like a good one. Like, it's not, there aren't a lot of players in that defense who are getting into other defenses, like other Champions League semi-finalist defenses, in my opinion. And you know, for that first goal, you just saw how Skinner's like physicality freaked them into poor decisions.
That
and
was,
you saw,
yeah.
you saw that again and again, which is exactly what you want from her. You know, and I think what we've said a number of times is like, you need to get Skinner the ball, because, or like have something for her to run onto, because that's when you're going to see the best of her. Like, she's not going to be like this technical striker for you. Like, she needs to be someone who's going to get in people's faces, get in the way. I thought Kate McCabe had a really good game. Yeah, Pullova as well. The only thing that like annoyed me from an Arsenal perspective is like, one, the defending of set pieces, really, really poor. And two, I know the Lotta thing is just like one error, but Lotta has been awful when she's been pressed all throughout the season. And okay, Wolfsburg had an advantage that they were able to bring players on. Like, they literally just had the opportunity, you know, like, we think Yula Brand is one of the best, you know, is going to be one of the best wingers in the world. They were able to bring her on totally fresh for like the last 20 minutes of this game and just set her free, set her running everywhere. Like, she was pressing Mia Volti, like she was pressing Lotta. But equally, I think if you were going to tell Yula Brand as she came onto the pitch, like, where to look to press, it would be Lotta. And that's the issue. You know, that's why Lotta has to iron that out of her game. Because yes, it's just one individual error, but like, players will see you as a weakness and they will target that if they know. And if you'd watched Lotta against City this season, you would know, you know?
Yeah, that was, Michael Cox did a tweet that was quite funny. He put, Wolfsburg are putting on fresh legs, with quotation marks over fresh legs, because Yula Brand has some legs on her, literally. quite funny. But no, it was, yeah, I mean, Lotta just, her head went, and you don't, like, you don't try to make that cut. I mean, you shouldn't make that cut in any part of the game. I think making that is just a high risk, low reward most of the time. Because the most that you're going to do is that, she's not a player to cut that and go into space like a Lee Williamson would when she gets the ball into space. Lotta is a get the ball out, go into space, stop, go back to your keeper kind of defender, essentially. So that, I mean, that in any case scenario was never going to go well for Lotta, because that doesn't do anything. And in that amount of time, she could have just passed back to Manu and started the advancing the ball just much more efficiently. So that was just, the overall concept of that play was just a waste of time.
But also, Arsenal will learn, like, I think it's easy to forget, and I don't mean this as a diss to Arsenal, but like, it'd been a long time since they played a Champions League semi-final. Like, I know Chelsea have been kind of in and out at the upper end of the competition, but like, I think that was our like third semi-final in 5 years. And okay, we've only like won one of those, but that is a big difference, I think, for your squad and maybe knowing like what you can and can't get away with when there's 3 minutes of extra time left. Whereas for this Arsenal team, like, they're building year on year, and I think you would feel confident to say, assuming they make the Champions League spots in the WSL, like, they're a team who are going to continue to make the latter stages. But that felt like it had like some naivety also, especially because, again, this isn't to diss any of the players who are out there, but like, in terms of some of the real leaders, when you're talking about Kim or Leah, you know, maybe players who are going to be a bit better at being like, okay, this is, you know,
get your head right.
Now we're playing, you know, we're basically playing for penalties at this point because we can't do anything else because we've got. I guess looking at Wolfsburg, what did you make of them? Because for me, like, I can only really praise Arsenal in terms of, I didn't think they were fantastic, but like, they just had to go out and try and put something together, and they very almost did put something together. Wolfsburg, I felt, had no excuse in terms of the levels that we saw at the Emirates.
They created nothing, essentially. I mean, when you look at the goals, it was a lot of mistake. An Alex Pop header that was poorly defended. It's just like you can't. When you look at the goals conceded, even in the first leg, you know that Rafa mistake, that was part of costing Arsenal the semi-final as well. You know that mistake should have happened, and maybe Arsenal would have played out for a win at the end of the day. So you know when what was it? How many goals were scored? It was 3-2, 2-2. It was 5-4, wasn't it? So nine goals out of nine goals. Arsenal kind of gave away two crucial goals over the both. That math was very unnecessary, but everybody knows what I'm talking about. I just went in a circle with unnecessary math, and now my brain's fried. But essentially, Arsenal gave away two goals, and that's maybe where the naivety that you're talking about is coming from. Like, it's just like, I think Arsenal are potentially ahead of their time of getting to a Champions League semi-final, particularly this season with all the injuries. And, you know, there wasn't much in the transfer market, neither in the summer nor in the winter window, the January transfer window. There was no movement, or there wasn't good enough movement to compete in a Champions League semi-final when you're going up against Yule Brand as a substitute in your opposition team. You know, what would have been our, at the end of the day, if Gio was registered, what's Gio going to do for you? It was the same as putting on Katrina Kuhl. You know, Jodie Taylor, maybe, but at the end of the day, you're putting up Jodie Taylor against Yule Brand. So, like, what comparison is that? So I think Arsenal overall were kind of ahead of their time in getting this far and competing this well. And my main concern for that would be, would Arsenal be competing like this if they had all their players?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and I definitely think we've seen a higher level from Arsenal when they've had their injuries. I think obviously Arsenal would be better with the other players, but there are things that I think for me there's one that I feel like made a big difference, and I think it's Arsenal without Miedema. And like, I just don't think she necessarily suits the way Jonas wants to play. And I think when we've seen the sort of, okay, Frida's now kind of moved back because of all of the other injuries. But like when we saw Frida with the 10 and Sheena ahead of her, that felt like
That was the
that's the kind of aggressive, physical play that Jonas wants. Having Miedema on your team, I don't think is ever going to make it worse.
No.
But I do wonder if she's made them less coherent. But the other thing that will be interesting is I do think Arsenal have obviously thrived off the, I'm going to call it pressing the fuck it button, in terms of being like, everything has a this is it energy. Like everyone's written us off. We've got no players. Like, we're going to show them. And, you know, it's been impressive in some ways. But, like, when you think about, like, Katie McCabe's rocket against City and she almost did a crot, obviously, hit the bar here, you know, like, look, they're ridiculous individual goals. And all teams are going to need to be bailed out like that at some point. And Arsenal have, like, needed to be bailed out like that a lot. And that's understandable because of the players missing. But it'll be interesting to see if Jonas, because I think if he can harness it, he's onto something sick. If he can harness it when the player, but the thing is as well that you just worry about now for next season is how and when those players come back becomes another thing. And you spend a whole season where you've had to chop and change because everyone's got injured, and you know you will assume Beth Mead should be back for pre-season, but Miedema's injuries seems a bit more complicated. That might not be, who knows exactly when, right? So then you've got to integrate those two. Leah's going to be out for the whole of next season. So you need to totally rejig. Maybe you need to buy another centre back now, whereas before you probably weren't looking at that. Laura Wienreuter looked like she did her ACL last night. So she's going to be out for the whole next season. Noel Maritz wants to leave in January. Do you buy another right back? Like, do you let Maritz go? Do you... All of this stuff is just like, I feel shit for Jonas and Arsenal because it's a nightmare to try and build a team
Yeah.
with.
It's nothing you can plan for either. It's like shit happens and you're kind of stuck in the worst possible scenario ever, basically.
Yeah.
No, it was one of the talking points that I kind of had ready for yesterday. It was also Arsenal's midfield. And I think this is us kind of holding on to the style of play that Germán Tomorrow had with Arsenal, with how important the midfield was for him. And I think I've at least for me, like I think particularly because Jonas has kind of stuck with the 4-3-3, and we still do play through the midfield quite a lot. But when you look at Sheena came in because Viv wanted to play in the midfield. Right. Viv in the midfield. So it was Viv, Kim, Leovati. That was a set three. Viv gets injured. Right. Frida, Kim, Leovati. Right. Camille gets injured. Frida, Leovati, Leah Williamson. Leah Williamson gets injured. Leovati. Well, now it's not even a midfield three anymore because you have to play a back three. So, like, the amount of midfields that Arsenal have had to combine since Viv dropped back, and that was arguably at the beginning of the season, wasn't it? So in one season, that's not even going into the whole winger situation and fullback situation. That's looking at the midfield three that have been good. There has been, what was that, at least four different midfield combinations. And that's not even talking about when Jordan was still in the squad, that she did start a couple games.
Mana, R.I.P.
I didn't want to mention Mana because that's sad. But I know, so it's like just looking at the midfield, Jonas has so many holes to fill.
And Leah Valti presumably might go in the summer, so
Her contract's up.
he'll basically have to start from scratch.
So essentially, you need a pivot, right back, a center back. And we're not talking about like some shit, secondhand signings that you need to develop. Like, you need good signings that are able to play at Champions League level. Like, I don't think Arsenal can afford to go for less than that.
And you need to convince them that they won't do their ACL while they're at the club, unlike everyone else. And that when the players who are absent come back, like you have to convince them where they fit in then, you know? And I think that's what's going to be hard. And then we haven't even got on to the fact that, you know, still don't know how you fit Frida Mann and Victoria Pullover and Viv Miedema into one team. That
Yeah.
also like still doesn't make any sense to me. So it's going to be an interesting summer for Arsenal.
To say the least, I think, yeah, I do. At the end of the day, I do feel bad for Jonas because it's so many important signings that obviously they just didn't have with the players that they had. I think they kind of afforded the time to go slowly in making big signings, but now with the injuries and everything that we've mentioned, you kind of have to go all out in this transfer window. If not, you're going to get stuck behind and kind of take 10 steps back in all the steps that you've taken forward despite the season that you've had. So I think, yeah, but shall we let's talk a bit about Wolfsburg. I feel like we've been denying them. Wolfsburg, defensively, I think everybody knows that we're not impressed with the Wolfsburg defense as a whole. That's quite evident. I think Barcelona could thrive under that as we have seen before, but at the same time, I think Wolfsburg have a lot more attacking power than what they've shown so far against Arsenal. And I think that's quite evident. I mean, Alex Pop doing what Alex Pop does. I think we all know that Barcelona defending set pieces isn't necessarily their strength either. So that's a scary potential for Barcelona to go up against is Alex Pop. But I think the midfield, I think Jo Ward did really well again yesterday. She was up for it, to say the least.
The only thing, here's what I don't get. I don't get why you play Alex Pop in a double pivot with Lennart Oberdorf. Like, I don't know why you have to play Alex Pop so deep.
As you go.
You don't. The whole point of Lennart Oberdorf is you get away with murder. Like, you can literally leave her to do everything. So that didn't make any sense to me. I also had an interesting conversation with Moussa Okwonga from Stadia, who I watched the game with, about whether Eva Pyor is like the right centre forward to play with the set of players that Wolfsburg have, which I thought was interesting because I hadn't really thought about it before. And like, I love Payor, but I do wonder if she's not, she doesn't feel as naturally dynamic in a way that allows players to really rotate. Because I think what, when I look at Wolfsburg's squad, I see lots of very well-rounded attacking players. Like, Brand, Wasmuth, I think, are both great wingers, but they're also very good finishers. They can cut inside. They can go down the wings. John Stossier, I don't think, is necessarily at the finishing level yet, but, like, you saw, like, in moments across these two legs exactly what she can offer as well, particularly with that speed. I mean, there's a couple of things here. I think you don't need Payor to be like super mobile and moving about if you just wanted to run your speedy wingers up and down the wing and cross into the box. So I don't really understand why they don't even do that. But if Stroop doesn't want to play like that, then I can see the argument for maybe Payor isn't the right fit. I just feel like you should be able to make it all a lot better than it is.
I mean, I think that's quite obvious. I think with the players that you have, it should be much better. I think the players know that as well. I think the players were frustrated to lose against Arsenal. And it sounds very bluntly is that they know that Arsenal don't have, to put it in a very blunt manner, Arsenal don't have the capability of winning a Champions League semi-final, essentially, is how the Wolfsburg players saw it. And I think when you look at player for player, strength for strength, Wolfsburg had every right to feel that way. And I think no one's going to deny that, essentially. But yeah, I was quite underwhelmed with Wolfsburg's attack overall. There was very, I think most of the attacking dangers came from individual plays rather than team plays. So there was that chance right before the first half when I clenched my butt cheeks, essentially, when Dion Sathir basically run down.
That was lovely, that ball.
He ran down the entire pitch.
I was ready to marry that pass.
Took on every single defender that she came across and then had an awful shot on target. And it wasn't awful. It was, the power was there, the placement wasn't, and Manu essentially, quite lucky that no one else was in the box either, but that was kind of the chance that, those are the type of chances that Wolfsburg kind of gave, the individual brilliances. It was the Wolfsburg, it was Alex Pop, brilliant header down to Joe Ward volley, Alex Pop header, and then obviously that Julebrand was quite good to pass on to Bremer. That was individual brilliance as well. So I thought that was...
That was so... Can I just give Brand some flowers here? Because
yes,
it would have been so easy. Like, this girl is 20 years old. It would have been so easy to have just got into that position and wanted to shoot. But to, like...
So she has the capability of scoring from there.
Yeah. But to have the wherewithal to, like, turn a good chance into an impossible-to-miss chance at that point in the game, I thought was elite. It was, I was sad that obviously because it was at Arsenal and like there weren't many Wolfsburg fans there, it was just met with silence. Because yeah, I thought that whole play, even though it was from a mistake, I thought it deserved more of a cheer.
It was quite impressive how silent the stadium was after that. Wolfsburg, I think we all know that are capable of much more. I am curious to see what Wolfsburg shows up to the Champions League final. Because we've obviously seen them, I think last season was quite evident that Wolfsburg are capable of beating Barcelona with the same style of play that Chelsea upset Barcelona. You would even argue that Wolfsburg have better finishers than Chelsea. And I think tactically it'll be quite interesting because obviously I think we both don't think that Struut is up to the tactical and intelligence level that Jonathan Giraldez is. So I would be quite curious to see how the setup will be. But then Wolfsburg just have the better aggression. Wolfsburg have the aggression more similar to Lyon than that of Barcelona.
Yeah, and they've also got the knowledge that they have beaten Barcelona once. Okay, it came off the back of actually being trounced and the game didn't really matter, but you said it earlier, like Barcelona don't go into these games lightly. You know, when people were saying after the Chelsea first leg, like, oh, Barcelona would have just gone to another level if Chelsea had equalized. Maybe, but Barcelona don't turn up to a game to like play within themselves. That's not the point of being a Barcelona team. So I think, regardless of the fact that Barcelona knew they were in a good position for that second leg, it's still meaningful that Wolfsburg won. Because there was a strange moment where everyone was like, they couldn't do it, could they? And then they didn't. But I think that will be a big psychological boost for Wolfsburg. And you don't have to go and play at Camp Nou. You only have to play them for 90 to 120 minutes. One-off game.
I think that anything can happen perspective. I think in any game is quite exciting for both teams, especially when you're considered the underdog. So it can be quite interesting in that. And I think Wolfsburg, with the leadership of Alex Popp, Svenja Huth, even Joe Ward, I think Joe Ward has a certain kind of leadership that I think every team needs in terms of energy. It's the same leadership. Well, Katie McCabe has better leadership, but the energy that Katie McCabe gives off, and Erik Cuthbert, a leadership in the midfield. It's kind of the energy that I think not every team has. And it's gonna be interesting. But shall we leave it at this? It is a Barcelona Wolfsburg final in Eindhoven on June 3rd. It's exciting. I think it's gonna be an exciting match. Much closer than what people think. I think people are expecting Barcelona to kind of be confident in it, but I don't think that it's going to be as tilted as many people are expecting it to be.
Wolfsburg have plenty of individuals, and yeah, I'm skeptical about Struth, but you know,
It's the talent that brings it forward, essentially.
and managers can put together good game plans for one match. You know, like I've seen plenty of like rubbish managers in my time fuck up a good team, because when you've got, especially when you've got talent like that, you don't always need to do rocket science.
Yeah, basically. All right, we'll come back later this month, closer to Eindhoven, when we get leagues going. I think that might dictate a lot of what we say as well. I am curious also to see if what Barcelona do for the rest of the season. I think that Jonathan might be, now that
They be
Barcelona have the league,
chilling.
I think Jonathan might be more leaning towards giving, the bench players a lot more time to kind of save first team players for that final, because they're not in La Copa de la Reina for other reasons than getting knocked out. All they have to focus on is the league, and they have more or less of a good run until the end of the season. They've won the league title. It depends how much, not even that, I was gonna say it depends how much they want the 100% record, but at the end of the day, you're gonna start with, players that don't get much minutes, but you're gonna have Aitana, Patri, Alexia, CGH on the bench. So essentially, the factor of always winning the game is always there. But I think, I think Jonathan might be more inclined to rest the final starting 11. Wolfsburg can't necessarily afford that because of how close the league is. So I think it'll be interesting on that perspective as well to see what we come back with at the end of the month.
Yeah, I just had a look. I think Wolfsburg's like the one hard game left for Wolfsburg, as they've got Eintracht Frankfurt to play.
But yeah, we'll come back at the end of the month with a big preview. We'll try to make it a good one, maybe get some guests on again. That should be fun. But yeah, we'll let you guys know on Twitter what the plans are. And for now, thank you for listening. June 3rd, Eindhoven final. Let's see what happens. See you.